It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. A new study shows that local school districts in Wisconsin are turning to the referendum to find new operating funds more than ever. And many of these referenda are succeeding. So far, 2018 is on pace to be the biggest year yet for school referenda. We'll find out why this morning on The Morning Show. Is there a referendum or is there more than one on your ballot in this election? What is it about? How do you feel about it? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jason Stein is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together the report, School Referenda on the Rise. Jason, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
In this year's, this November's election, voters consider ballot questions seeking more than $1 billion in funding for local school districts. How does this figure compare to past years?
Sure. Well, what we're seeing, you can compare a couple ways in the number of referenda or the amount. And in terms of the number, this is the most that we've had since 2001. In terms of the amount, depending on how much is approved, you know, if voters approve these referenda at the rates that we've seen over the last, you know, this year and going back to 2016, then we'll just be above where 2016 was in the $1.7 billion range, which is the most we've seen for school referenda in the state, going back to the time when revenue limits were put on school districts in the 93-94 school year.
Break down for us how public schools in Wisconsin are funded.
Sure. Well, they get a variety of funding sources, state, federal money, as well as the local property tax. But in Wisconsin, we have something called revenue limits that are put on the general school aids from the state and on the money that districts get from the property tax. And that per pupil cap limits how much revenue they can raise from those two sources. And what a referendum essentially is, it's when the school districts go to voters and ask for permission to exceed those revenue caps, either to borrow money for building a new school or for getting an increase in their operating budget that is either for a limited period of years or permanent.
We're talking with Jason Stein, research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together a report titled School Referenda on the Rise. Wondering if, is there a referendum in your school district on the ballot this fall? Could be more than one. Maybe they want to put up a building and raise some operating funds. How do you feel about it? Let us know. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org is the email address, and you can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. So what is, when it comes to school funding, you mentioned two different reasons that schools might have to go to referendum to obtain the funding. What is the role of the referendum when it comes to funding specifically?
Well, again, if you're going to the voters and you're saying, you know, and presumably, in, you know, in a lot of cases, it's something that the local newspaper or TV station is covering. The school district is making an appeal to voters and saying, these are our budget constraints. These are the needs that we feel we have to educate students in your area. And the decision is put to voters on whether or not to essentially raise their own property taxes. So, you know, I think it would be fair to say that many voters would come into that situation skeptically, and school districts need to make a case why they need those resources. And, you know, one of the things that our report found is, you know, there's a couple of things over time that seem to have influenced why voters are approving in general more referenda, and we can talk a little bit about why that is.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay, well, we see a couple factors. One factor is clearly the economy. that when the economy dips, as it did during the Great Recession and also in 2001, when you see a recession and then its aftermath, the number of referenda and success rates go down. And, you know, it may be that voters would still like to help their local school district, but they don't feel able to do so. And to a certain extent, school district officials may feel more reluctant to even ask for the help in the first place. When you have a period of economic expansion, and obviously we're in one that has lasted many years now, you do see an uptick in referenda. So I think that is clearly one factor that is happening here. Another factor seems to be a change in voter attitudes, that if you look at polling going back to 2013, you see a shift from, in the Marquette Law School poll, from a plurality of voters around Wisconsin saying that keeping property taxes low was more important to them than funding public schools, to in polling in 2015 and this year, you see a majority of voters surveyed saying that funding public schools was more important to them than keeping property taxes low.
And prior to the imposition of the revenue caps in 93, weren't referenda primarily school bond issues for building repairs or construction of new buildings? Before revenue caps, the school districts didn't really have a need to go to referendum for operating, did they?
Right. And 1992 is a little before my time in terms of watching the school finance landscape. But yes, I mean, because prior to the revenue caps, if the school district needed an increase in their operating budget, then they could approve that in their regular annual budget process. And their only constraint would be, you know, what they felt was appropriate and what the political climate of their school district was. And I should give you one other factor that is really important for these, for whether or not a district goes to referenda, and that is the local conditions in that district. And that could be everything from, are they growing? Are they getting more student enrollment? Do they need an additional school to accommodate that enrollment? Or is an existing school aging and needs to be replaced? As well as, you know, in some rural areas of Wisconsin, you see something called declining enrollment districts, where because the population of the area is going down, the number of students is going down. And that makes it more difficult, because these are per pupil caps. That means that the amount of money, both in state aid and then also in revenue limit, that these school districts have to educate their students is going down. And, you know, in certain cases, that makes them less efficient. You know, you can't not have a kindergarten even if there are fewer students in the kindergarten. And that leads to, you know, that can lead to a referenda as well.
800-642-1234, the number to call to tell us the story of your school district. If you care to join us, and if the lines are full, as they are right at the moment, you can also send an email. The address is ideas@wpr.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So lots of ways for you to get in touch this morning. We're talking about the increasing number of school referenda on the ballots across the state of Wisconsin, over $1 billion worth if they all get approved. Wondering what you think about this. 800-642-1234. Jason Stein is with us. He's the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together a report showing the research on this issue. The report is titled School Referenda on the Rise. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. School referenda are on the rise in Wisconsin, according to a new study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're talking about why. Is there a local school referendum on your ballot this year? 800-642-1234, ideas@wpr.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jason Stein is here with us. He's the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together the report, School Referenda on the Rise. We have some callers who want to join us. Let's start in Oak Creek, where Dee is on the line. Dee, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Our school district is has a referendum coming up this fall on additional building onto our elementary schools to make them like the newer elementary schools we have. So instead of a cafeteria and a gymnasium dual purpose, they want to add an additional gymnasium onto each of the older schools to make them look like the newer schools. I'm a teacher. I get the budget thing. I understand, you know, you have costs that have to be paid for. I just don't get the increases, and so I don't feel like additional building because you want it to look like the other building is fair to the voters, and I'm not going to vote for that kind of thing.
All right, Dee, thanks for your call. Jason, is Dee's sentiment typical when we have discussions about adding new buildings?
Well, so I think Dee is right that Oak Creek has, I believe, a $61 million referendum ballot. Obviously, that's a significant amount of money. It is one of the larger referenda around the state, although by no means the largest. There are some that are even twice that size. Obviously, again, I think we talked about this earlier, that when a voter votes yes in a referenda, that is a vote to raise his or her own property taxes. And as we also talked about in, you know, the case of recessions, that isn't purely a case of whether a voter wants to do that. It's a case of whether he or she feels they're financially able to do that. So, I mean, obviously it's always a high bar that school districts have to cross to have a referenda and succeed. And that's one reason why it's interesting that so many of them have in recent years.
Well, if we're talking about, okay, so property taxes might go up, but if the district is large enough, if it has a large enough population, the average increase for a homeowner wouldn't be like, you know, thousands of dollars for these referenda. Where you know, it's being spread over quite a few people, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the flip side of it is that, you know, public education is obviously, you know, one of the most significant things along with public safety that local governments do. And it's obviously of great, you know, interest to voters. It's also the largest expense for state government in terms of what state government spends its money on aid to local school districts. So obviously, you know, there's a push and pull to this. And again, we have seen, you know, so far this year, 85% of the referenda that were put forward in the spring did pass. And that was 63 referenda that did pass. Mm-hmm. So again, it's by no means uncommon in today's environment to see a school referendum pass.
Is that 85%? Is that a higher than average number, or has that been typical over the last 4 or 5 years?
It has been typical that in recent years more school district referenda have passed. I think it was roughly 80% in 2016, okay, which was the highest year on record. You know, you certainly see, going back to, there's periods within, there's periods around recession and the aftermath of recession where you see approval rates more like 50% and even significantly below 50% if you go back to like 2003. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, it's 85% is not completely uncommon compared to recent years, but it's certainly different than what you would have seen 10, 15 years ago.
Let's take another call. Jerry is with us in Lake Mills. Jerry, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. In Lake Mills, we have a total population of slightly over 6,000 people, I believe, according to the road signs. We already have a middle school and an elementary school that is not yet paid for, and now we have a referendum that wants to increase the academic portion of the high schools, which I agree upon, but we also have an expanded referendum on the sports facilities in the schools as far as the amenities and increase in bleacher seats and lighting, et cetera, et cetera. According to the State Journal this week, we're graduating kids that are less than 42% proficient in reading and writing. There are so many elderly people in this community, they cannot sustain this kind of increase on their property or their school tax. Several states have laws that exempt people 65 and over from paying school tax. I think Wisconsin needs to get on this bandwagon.
Okay, Jerry, we get it. Jerry is fine with supporting things that are specifically about academics, not so fond of supporting athletics. What are the objections that people generally have to referenda of this type?
So I think, first off, her description of the two ballot questions in the two-part ballot question in the Lake Mills area seems to be accurate in terms of building classroom additions at the cost of $7 million and improving outdoor athletic areas at the cost of $2.5 million. That's on the November 6th ballot there. This is something that is, you know, school districts have to make their case. Voters have got to decide whether or not they agree with that. And obviously we have seen in the legislature, we have seen some debate about putting additional restrictions on time, place, and manner, if you will, for school districts, when they can hold referenda, how, if they have one that fails, how quickly they, you know, how long they need to wait before they can come back and hold another referendum. So obviously, there's debate on these questions. She did also mention whether or not we could exempt senior citizens from paying school taxes. I think, you know, anything is possible for the legislature. I think there might need to be a constitutional amendment in that regard, because Wisconsin's constitution tends to require equal taxation. And so if you're trying to exempt a particular group, it can be tricky as a lawmaker to accomplish that.
All right, Jerry, thanks for your call. Terms we use when talking about school funding may be unfamiliar to some people, and I wanted to get you to kind of define these for us. What is the difference between recurring and non-recurring when we talk about these school referendums?
Sure. That's a good question. So there are three types of referendum, and I didn't use the technical term that you just used, but we can do that now. One type is to issue debt, and I think that's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. You do a building or a renovation, and you issue bonds, and then you use the money from the referendum to pay off the bonds. Then there's a non-recurring type of referendum, and that's where you increase your operating budget for a limited period of time, typically, you know, 3-4 years, something like that. Although when that period is over, then, you know, sometimes school districts come back and ask to renew that mm-hmm. period. And then finally, you have something called a recurring referendum, which just means that's a permanent increase in the operating budget and in the property taxes that the school district is seeking.
And debt issue, that's what we talk about, school bonding. That's where the school district borrows. And how much debt can districts issue without having a referendum?
Sure. I think it's about $1 million that they can do without, you know, in general, they can issue up to $1 million without a referendum.
Okay, and when do they have to pay that debt? How long can they hold that debt?
Well, it depends on the terms of the bond issue, mm-hmm. but they're long term. You know, this over a period of many years, so not unlike home loans, not necessarily 30 years. I mean, I think typically you see 10 to 20 years of that time period, but it would depend on the terms of the bond.
School referenda are on the rise in Wisconsin, according to a new study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason Stein is with that group and is here to talk about the report and what it means. And we're here to talk with you as well at 800-642-1234. Lots of callers, and we will continue our discussion. I'm John Munson. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network of WPR. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. School referenda are on the rise in Wisconsin, according to a new study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we're talking about that today. Is there a local referendum on your ballot this year to provide funding for local schools, whether it's a building project or to support operating costs? Let us know at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jason Stein is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together the report, and he is with us this morning. We had an email from Francis in Wauwatosa, who writes, as a former teacher and parent, it is apparent why there is a spike in school referendums. The elephant in the room is Republican legislation that gutted the public schools' budgets to support private schools. I am strongly supporting TOSA's referendum. So let's talk a little bit about how schools are funded in Wisconsin and about that comment from Francis in Wauwatosa.
Sure. So there's a lot there. Obviously, Wauwatosa has, I believe, $125 million referenda. It is one of the biggest in the state. I mean, when you think about there's $1.4 billion, I believe, on the ballots this fall, and that's $125 million. So it's a big chunk of the statewide total is in Wauwatosa. So we have seen, you know, some shift in school funding, to be sure, over the past 7 years. On the one hand, in 2011, there was, I think, a 5.5% decrease in state levy limits. So that was the, you know, again, the total money in general aids and property taxes that school districts could use to fund, you know, a big chunk of their budgets. At the same time, there was the passage of Act 10 at that time, which repealed a lot of collective bargaining for teachers and other public employees and did lower costs for districts at that time. Then you haven't seen significant increases in the revenue limits in the next two budgets. In the current budget, though, there was a significant increase in state money that school districts could spend that came outside the revenue caps. And so it's possible that without that increase in money in the current budget, that the number of referenda that we're seeing might be higher.
Francis, thanks for that email. Let's go to Rick in Beloit next. Rick, hello. You're on the Morning Show.
Good morning. Yeah, what I was calling about is a few years back, Beloit had a $73 million referendum, and we had just recently paid off a referendum. And I'm just warning the school districts that are having the referendum and stuff to read it closely, be aware. Because in Beloit, they told us that our taxes would go up $100 for the $100,000. And because we paid off the old referendum, they forgot to tell us there would be a lowering of $50. So in all general, the taxes went up $150. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but to be deceived and not told the whole story is very disheartening with the school system.
All right, Rick, thanks thanks for your call. Reading the fine print on the referendum, always a good idea. Where can people typically find information about what they're voting on?
Well, there's a variety of places. Obviously, their school district website, their local newspaper, the State Department of Public Instruction, our website, which is wispolicyforum.org, is another option for them. So, I mean, there's a number of places they can, you know, obviously they can show up to their school board meeting. You know, they can make their voices heard, not just at the ballot box, but also during school board meetings. There is opportunity for public comment. So all of those, you know, they can speak individually with school board members. All of those avenues lie open to a voter who, you know, would like to see a referendum approved or avoided, either one.
And we had a caller, Kenneth from Janesville, who couldn't stay with us, but Kenneth was wondering whether schools can raise money for teacher salaries through the ballot. What can school districts ask for through the referendum process?
They could ask for an increase in their operating budget, and they could use part of that increase, or, you know, whatever part of that increase they wanted the school board to increase teacher salaries. That would certainly be possible. You know, and I think in typically the ballot questions do include some description of what the money would be used for. And then obviously, again, through the sources that I
think we lost Jason for just a moment. We'll get him back very quickly. Here's an email from Hannah in Stevens Point. Hannah writes, I am a teacher here. Our district has been deferring maintenance for years to keep budgets in check. Our school is a beautiful place to be in and is well kept, but it has plumbing and heating needs. As with any home, there are costs involved in owning a building, and it's going to take a referendum to keep them in operational order. That's a pretty common theme across the state. Buildings age and they need to be paid for, and there's a lot of deferred maintenance in districts as they try to tighten their budgets. Let's take a call from Michael in Green Bay. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. So my comment is, anytime that we can give power back to voters, I'm in favor of that. But the reason that we have elected representatives is because the voters are not always informed on the topics as they should be. And if we continue to put the voice of how money is spent in our schools to the voice of the voter, I think it'll be the beginning of the end for the funding to the public school system. And as we hear a harder push for charter schools, that's going to become the new option. And I don't think that it's going to be beneficial for Wisconsin or any other state that goes that route.
Michael, thanks. Thanks for that call, Jason.
Yes, I am here.
Okay, what do you think about what Michael had to say? That the more referenda we have, that's a sign that our public school systems are getting less and less healthy, and it may lead to it may be a kind of a slippery slope.
Well, I guess what I would say is, you know, there's a lot of ways for voters to weigh in, and so they can weigh in through their local school board elections and their local referenda, but they can also weigh in there. You know, that's not the only thing on the ballot November 6th. They'll also, every voter in the state will have a state assemblyman or woman on his or her ballot. Many of them will have a state senator, and as well, all of them will have a governor, you know, governor candidates on their ballot. And by weighing in on those, they can also affect, you know, for, you know, in various ways, how schools are funded and what system is used. So, you know, that's the democratic process.
Let's break down what schools are asking for on the ballot this year. I know there are lots and lots and lots of referenda out there. Can you break down kind of kind of by category, how many are requesting each thing?
Sure. So I can give you a couple things. One, just regionally, we are seeing a significant number of referenda in the suburban, Milwaukee and Madison area. So, you know, suburban Milwaukee, we mentioned Waukesha and Oak Creek, also Greendale and Pewaukee. Waukesha in the Madison area, Middleton, Cross Plains, Monona, Oregon, Edgerton, all of those school districts have significant referenda. Those are all large referenda that include debt issues, which tend to be, in your, at least in terms of your numbers, because the debt number is something that's paid off over many years but approved all at once. It, you know, looks bigger. The number looks bigger than the recurring or non-recurring, although those do add up over time. You're also seeing around the state, on Alaska, the Dells, Rhinelander, Dodgeville, also having significant referenda. And then in terms of what they're being used for, remodeling buildings and site improvements, I think 40 of the requests mentioned that. 24 of the requests mentioned safety and security improvements. 28 mentioned maintaining facilities. And then 12 of them mentioned maintaining programming, educational programming at current levels. So that's a mix of, you know, that's an example of the sorts of things that are actually on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. The interestingly enough, and this is taken from Urban Milwaukee, there was somebody who had asked earlier about comparing what we spend on education to what we spend on prisons. As the prison population has exploded, so have the costs associated with the state's correction system. The state spent $1.2 billion on correction services in 2017, which is more than the state spent on the UW. In fact, the state spends more tax dollars on corrections than any other purpose except K-12 education and health care for people with low income. So the answer to the question of whether we spend more on prisons than we do on school districts would be no, we don't. But it seems like it's a close run thing. That was Karen from Cumberland who asked that question, and our crack research team here at WPR found the answer for her. So, Karen, thanks for that question.
I think we spend about $1.1 billion in general, you know, state and income tax money on the prison system each year. I think we spend about $6 billion roughly in all our forms of state aid to K-12 districts, and then about another $1 billion in state and income tax money to the UW system.
Okay.
So that would give you kind of a sense of scale there.
Yeah. All right, so we will continue this discussion. I find it interesting that out of all of these requests, and it's over 100, only 12 of them are for maintaining educational programming. Maybe we can touch on why that is when we come back. We're talking about school referenda being on the rise with Jason Stein, Research Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which put together a report on this, and with you. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. School referenda are on the rise across Wisconsin, according to a new study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We are talking about that study and what it means on The Morning Show today with Jason Stein, Research Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and with you at 800-642-1234, ideas@wpr.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Lots of people interested in this topic. We'll talk to Mark in Waukesha next. Mark, hello. Welcome to The Morning Show.
Hey, good morning. No, just a pretty straightforward point here is that I think it's pretty obvious why we see more and more of these referendums coming up is based on with what Scott Walker did years ago by trying to bankrupt the public school system in the state of Wisconsin. Most people are now awake and understanding what's going on for the future of the state, and that we've got to start to invest in our future of the state. That's one of the things that the governor does not believe in, and people are now willing to take it in their own hands.
All right, Mark. Thanks for that call. Jason, is there data showing that increase in school referendum is connected to cuts to funding under Governor Walker?
Well, so I guess here's what I would say there. It's always difficult to tease out different factors. So, you know, we can't know what would, if the national economy were in recession right now, you know, I think clearly there would be fewer referenda, but we can't know exactly what would happen in that alternate world. You do see a shift in apparent voter sentiment that I talked about in that polling earlier by the Marquette University Law School. And so clearly there's been some shift, or at least there appears to be some shift in public sentiment. You know, certainly you see what funding levels are set by the state as part of the debate over that. So, again, we talked about in 2011, you did see a significant decrease in the revenue limit for schools, and then that has been kept pretty tight since then, which means that property taxes have been lower than they otherwise been, would have been, but it also means that funding for public schools has also been lower than it might have otherwise been.
Mark, thanks for that call. Let's take a call next from Jeff in Appleton. Jeff, hello. You're on the morning show.
Good morning. I'm just not in favor of the funding model that the schools seem to have adopted of we're going to spend every penny we get, and then when we run out, we'll just go take more from the citizens. There's always going to be, with the best of preparation, there will be reasons for referendum, and if the referendum's truly needed, that's great. But proper budgeting would allow for future expansion, for future maintenance, and that's not something that's ever been done. And to me, that seems to be a failure of leadership from the local school districts all the way up to the top of the state education, from the past up to and including Tony Evers.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Jeff saying if we managed our schools properly, we wouldn't need so many of these referenda.
There you go. I don't think there's a referendum in Appleton this year, but certainly there's, you know, the ability to vote on legislative and candidates for governor. So there's always that opportunity to weigh in.
All right, Jeff, thanks for your call. Let's go to another Fox Valley caller. Jim is calling us from Freedom. Jim, good morning.
Hello. I was calling in because a guy called in and blamed the school choice on cost of education going up. That's taking money away from the public schools. So I did a little bit of my own research, and lo and behold, that's really not true. If they shut down the school vouchers in Milwaukee, they're only running at $8,000. Milwaukee public school system's getting over $13,000 per student. And they surveyed the parents in Milwaukee, and it showed 90% of those parents using the vouchers have sent their kids back to Milwaukee public school system. That's like over 24,000 kids. So we'd have to, I calculated based on a referendum we just failed in Freedom, that'd come to over $1 billion worth of more schools we'd have to build in Milwaukee or get up to speed just to keep classroom sizes the same in Milwaukee. And it actually costs the taxpayers over $100 million a year more to have these kids go back to the Milwaukee public schools versus keeping them where they're at. So I really get irritated when people blame the vouchers for our public schools not having succeeding. When in fact, across the whole state, only 12% of the kids go to non-public schools outside of Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, it's way up to 30%. So we did that across the whole state. We probably wouldn't need a referendum for more buildings for many years to come. So,
all right, Jim, thanks. Thanks for the call. I want to give Jason a chance to respond. Jason Stein, what's the relationship between funding for the voucher program and funding for our school system? Does the voucher program take money away from local school districts, or as our caller says, is it really a benefit?
Well, So there's not one voucher program. There are several voucher programs, and they work differently in terms of the funding model in each. And also, I think it's also worth pointing out again that a lot of these school district referenda are related to local conditions. So, you know, again, if the local school board feels something needs to be done to an elementary school or a football stadium, that's not necessarily something that is directly related to Tony Evers or Scott Walker or the school voucher program necessarily. Again, because vouchers are so complicated in terms of the funding, and it's a little off this topic, I guess what I would say is that they can lead to a school district having smaller enrollments.
that can lead to a school district having less state aid and less revenue available under the state caps. And so that can have an impact on, you know, the school district finances. But again, there are also a lot of other factors in play.
What's been the reaction to the rise in the number of school referenda in the state legislature? How have Wisconsin lawmakers responded to this increase?
Sure. So they have responded in certain cases. I mean, it varies, right? I mean, certain lawmakers have said that the state's response should be to increase state aid or increase the state revenue limit or both. And you have seen some additional aid. For instance, well, you saw an increase in the current state budget in state aid. You then also saw an increase in revenue limits for low spending districts outside of the budget. And then you also saw on the other side, you see some lawmakers saying that the circumstances when you can hold a referendum should be tightened up. And there was some legislation to make some changes to modestly tighten the circumstances that school districts can hold referenda. And I wouldn't be surprised if there is more legislation on sort of both sides, both funding for schools and also tightening referenda conditions in the next legislative session in January.
Well, there was a new law effective 2018 that limited school districts to two referenda questions per year, which typically may be presented only during a regularly scheduled spring or fall election. And that was a change in policy because couldn't school districts at one time kind of hold referenda whenever they wanted?
I mean, potentially, I think the concern was that if you holding an election in a very thinly voted election where there's not a lot of voter turnout would not give the clearest sense of what the overall community's feeling, opposition or approval to a referendum would be, and it would be better to hold it in a high turnout election. So that was mm-hmm. that was one of the things. And then again, right, there's been debate over if a school district holds a referendum and it fails, how long should the district have to wait before they hold another one? Could they do that immediately, or should they have to wait some period of time?
Okay. So what are you watching, Jason, as this election and the vote on many referenda comes closer? What are you watching for, and how do you think this is going to go?
Sure. Well, I think one is just what portion of them succeed. And obviously some of these referenda are quite modest, and some of them are quite large. So both how many of them overall succeed or fail, as well as how many, you know, which ones succeed or fail, which parts of the state do they succeed and fail in. And, you know, that's the thing that I'm looking for first, and then we can look to see how our state elected officials react to those.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it there, Jason. We're out of time. Jason Stein, thank you for being with us. Jason is the research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.